Genesis 22:1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took his two young men with him and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son. He took in his hand the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire on the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Everybody will face varying tests and trials throughout their life. Some of you have been through or are now experiencing a test that perhaps shakes you to the core. If you're there today, I want you to know that you're not alone. Many of your brother, your sister, they're in the same chapter of life, and it is part of following Christ. We experience these things. It's normal. We may not want to face this reality as of the hard situations that come our way. We naturally, I will say for me, I want to avoid them. I really don't ask for them, but they come to us. But let's remember something. God, he's the potter. We are the clay. He calls the shots. We don't. These tests or trials that come our way, they're vital. They are vital, 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 because they help us to understand where we're at in life. This test that God gives Abraham, he doesn't give it to him wondering, I'm wondering how he's going to come out the other side. I'm wondering what he's going to do. No, he knows all that. This test is for Abraham, and we're blessed to read about it today. So if we walk by faith, as we should, believing that God will provide in the middle of the mess we're in, we can face these tests with something, with courage. I think we can. God wants to use these things in our lives. It can be a testimony to the world that you're in love with the Lord. The way you respond can be a testimony to the world. Well, we can go through trials with confidence that God will provide. That's the bottom line here. We can do that. Abraham's trial began with a command. Every time I read this, it takes me back. Verse 2, you know, the command is clear. In verse 1, God speaks to him. He answers. But in 2, there's the command. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. And this is what you're to do. You're to go to the land of Moriah and there offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I'll tell you. Whenever I come to this scripture, it's just stunning. These words are just seared in my mind, and I'm certain they're seared in Abraham's mind as well. Take your son, your only son, who you love, and you go sacrifice him. You go worship. It was clear. I can imagine Abraham was in disbelief as to what he had just heard. He knew it was the Lord. He knew what he'd heard. This was a test from God. God knew how it would end, but the purpose of it here is to help Abraham to grow his faith. Tests come from God, and they come into our lives with a purpose, and I praise God for that. You know, if you're without Christ, it just absolutely stinks when hard things come, and they do. There's no redeeming quality. But in Christ, I know that God's at work, that he loves me, that what he's brought to me is for my good. It's to help me to grow, to mature, that I might be a greater blessing to others and glorify him in it. Keep your mind and your heart there. We are, as James says, to count it all joy when we endure various trials. And you'll see the purpose here. You count it joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. See, you're not going to be a mature soldier worthy of the cross without these testings, without trials, without stuff coming into your life that shapes you. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete or mature, lacking in nothing. That's what God's doing. He's doing something here in the middle of your testing, of your trial. God wants to do something in your life that could not be done without it. So we take, there's great hope here, friend. We can go through this knowing, you know what? In the middle of it, God is going to provide. You see this, so as Abraham faces this trial, verse 8, God will provide. God will provide for himself a lamb. Okay, Isaac, we're going. I'm not sure what this looks like, but I know this. There's a God in heaven, and he will provide. I mean, I don't understand it all. I mean, I like it, but here it is. He's going to provide. Keep that in mind when you're in the middle of it, because it makes a difference how you face it. God doesn't tempt us to do evil. We're tempted by our own lust. Certainly the devil has a place in that. He does test us, though. There's a difference. So it was clear, this command was clear. I believe it was puzzling as well from a human standpoint. This makes no sense at all. None. Abraham has just heard God say, take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. I can imagine Abraham playing this over and over again. Did he say that? I know he said that. That's exactly what he said. What is this about? And the somberness of that moment has to hit him. On occasion, I've had some awful dreams. You guys ever had any? I mean, awful dreams. I won't even tell you about those dreams. Awful. In the middle of that dream, you it shakes you so much, you wake up, and you're just like, oh, it's not real. Thank the Lord, this is not real. But this was a dream. This wasn't a dream, but if it had been a dream, it would be real. Abraham has been told by God to do something. Your son, you take him to a Moriah, to that place, and I'll show you the mountain, and you are to sacrifice him there. That's what you're to do. So I believe this is extremely puzzling to Abraham. But God is saying this. God is saying in Abraham's case, you go, you worship, and in your worship, in your worship, in place of a lamb, Abraham knew about sacrifices. He'd been doing that. But in place of that, I want you to place your son in that place. How puzzling this must have been. After all, this was the son of, remember, the son of promise. And that promise in Genesis 3:15 of a redeemer, the one who's going to come, the Messiah, walks right through Abraham and his son Isaac. If Isaac is dead, the promise is dead. It makes no sense what God is calling him to do here from a human standpoint. And couldn't God see this? It was awful to think about, let alone do. We are the potter. Or excuse me, he is the potter. We are the clay. He calls the shots. We don't order everything in our life. He's telling Abraham, go worship me on that mountain in this way. That's what you're to do. You see in verses 3 through 5, the compliance. Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering, arose, he went to the place of which God had told him. This is stunning as well, is it not? It's inspiring to me to think how Abraham responded to the word of the Lord. Note it here. He obeyed immediately. We don't read his response as being, are you kidding me? Or why me? Or this isn't fair? Oh, he did what every believer should have done. He obeyed. He trusted God. God will provide. I can't see the end of this thing, but I know something. I can trust him. Friend, brother, sister, we won't regret obeying the word of the Lord. We won't regret humbling ourselves to His Word. Individuals may have many regrets in their life, but I don't have people running to me and saying, Pastor, I've faithfully served God all these years. His Word has been my will. I've done what He's called me to do, and I absolutely regret doing it. I never have people come doing that. Why? Because there's blessing with obedience. And Abraham just does what every Christian should do. He obeyed, so he starts out on this journey with those preparations. Notice he gets up early. He splits the wood. He gets the help. He puts that stuff on that wood on the donkey. He's got a trip ahead of him. 3 days' journey, two nights. It's about 50 miles from Beersheba, where he's at, to Moriah. And that looms in the distance. At the heart of this test is that God isn't just asking Abraham to sacrifice his son. God is asking him to trust him, and he's asking him to worship. Let's make sure we notice something that can easily escape our minds in this section. We see, and it jumps out, the command to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. But the whole of this picture is that Abraham is to go to this mountain to proclaim that God is worthy to worship. The burnt offering of his son is one of the details of this worship. What am I saying? I'm saying this. The sacrifice of Isaac is part of the call that God has on Abraham's life to worship. The worship of God by Abraham took almost a week out of Abraham's life. Think about it. It's a 3 days journey there. You've got two nights under the stars. You've got a 3 days journey back, two nights under the stars there. In other words, there's great effort here. He gave great effort in preparation. Worship always begins there, and it always costs us something. It will cost us something. At the least, it costs us our time, which is not ours at all. Great effort and preparation. He's going, and it costs. He's going. This old man, who's now about 115 years old or so, walks 50 miles to worship God on a mountain. And what is that order of this worship service? You have in your bulletins, the front of that was our order of worship. It began, and you know, it just walks through. This was the worship, the order of worship for Abraham. Is you're going to climb this mountain. You're going to build an altar. And you're going to have a way to light that wood. You're going to place your son on the altar. You're going to kill him, and you're going to sacrifice him there. God's saying, this is what I'm calling you to do. This is what worshiping me today looks like. Does Abraham believe that God is worth this? Is God worthy? Yes. And so much more. Yes, yes, and yes. He obeys, he goes. Church in America today is struggling to deem God worthy of any effort on our part at all. We don't want to be inconvenienced. Our preferences feed our attitudes. We end up approaching God half-heartedly. We make all kinds of excuses. I've made them myself. I'm including myself. We make these excuses for not assembling. Well, I don't like the music. The music's this, the music's that. The preaching, well, it's this, it's that. The people, they're there, they're that, whatever. We make these excuses. We don't want to make effort. We don't want to do that. Our preferences, they're okay. But when they impact our attitude and our worship, we're out of balance. We had something here up before us about the persecuted church. I believe we would be greatly served in America if we understood what our brothers and sisters, what a worship service for them looked like. I think we'd greatly, greatly served to get our minds back there in that place. But we have our preferences, but when it gets to our attitudes, that's where we're hindered in worship. I've thought about Abraham's preference here. I don't believe this is what he would have wanted this day to look like. But he humbles himself to God's call. We are called to sing a new song to the Lord. and we resist. We're called to worship Him in spirit and yet in truth, and yet that's not our priority. So many things, so many excuses. I've got something else. Abraham could have said, you know, I got that flock of sheep over there on that mountain. I'm scheduled next week to shear those sheep or whatever. But he says, no, God, you're worthy. You're worthy of my worship, of my time. I'm going. I don't know what this looks like. It makes no sense, but I will worship. Those are the kind of worshipers that God is seeking today. There's this struggle as well. How could he do this thing? What God called him to, it's beyond comprehension. See, the seed, the Redeemer, who is to come through Isaac, all those promises. And finally, God brings this son to Abraham when it couldn't happen, and it did, and it caused this great laughter. And I believe he and Sarah have been laughing ever since his birth, enjoying watching this young man grow up. Take him. Sacrifice him. When it comes to worship, it is not about us. It's not about our preferences. It's not that at all. It's about saying he's worthy of everything I have, all that I am or ever will be. When we come together Sunday morning, we need to get our minds around the thought, I'm coming here, yes, to serve people, to love people, but I'm coming here, I'm giving up time because I'm coming here. I'm going to sing, I'm going to give, I'm going to take in, I'm going to worship around the Word. I am saying that He is worthy of it all. And so what it comes out of, everything needs to come around that thought. We should be singing a lot louder. We should be. We should be digging in and saying, I don't care what the guy or the gal next to me thinks or sounds like or think I sound like. I'm worshiping the Lord. I was at a football game yesterday with a brother-in-law of mine, one brother-in-law, one sister-in-law. Anyway, I was at the game, and a brother-in-law, he was getting all revved up. His son's team is in a playoff game at Escanaba. He's getting loud, and he says, hey, oh, excuse me, I can really get into the game. And I'm like, that's okay. It's why you're here, right? I want to say we really ought to get into the worship. We really ought to get into God. We really ought to get into lifting up Christ. And we don't care so much about what others think. It's about Him when we come together. And Abraham says, you know what? This really stinks, but my God is calling me and I'm going. I don't like it, but I'm going to go. It's not about Abraham. It's not about Isaac. It's about Yahweh. It's about God. There's that struggle. And Abraham saw himself, he got through this struggle in this way, by faith. Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, right there in Genesis 22, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. He offered up Isaac. How could he do that? It was he to whom it was said, and Isaac, your descendant shall be called. It's through Isaac. How can he do this? Here it is. Here it is. He considered that God is what? Able to raise people even from the dead, which he also received him back as a type. You know, a part of Abraham's thinking was this. Wow. I know this, though. I serve a living God. Whatever happens on that mountain, God can raise him from the dead, and he will. His faith. He says in this text, in verse 8, God will provide. And he believes it. So there's that struggle. And I want you to remember something. In the struggle of your test, of your trial, remember that the Lord will provide. He's faithful. Faithful is he who calls you. He will also bring it to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. In the middle of it, remember, God is faithful. He's going to get me through. You may not, and by the way, faith, we have faith because we can't see it all. We can't control it all. We believe there's a God who can, and we trust him, and he's faithful, right? He will see us through. God will provide. There's a conversation, and it reveals much. You know, we're coming to the end of it. Hang on here. While they're going, you see in verse 6, Abraham took the wood. They arrive at that place. He laid it on Isaac, his son. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Beautiful picture of a father and a son. Twice it mentions they walk on together. But in verse 7, Isaac asks the question to his father. My father, he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Dad, I get this. I've seen this worship before. We have fire, we have wood, and we have a lamb. There's no lamb. And Abraham says what? God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac's question reveals a couple of things. One is that as a young man, he has a firm grip of the sacrificial system. He notes the wood, the fire, the sacrifice. He notices there's no lamb. He asks the obvious question, where is the lamb? I want you to know that his parents have made the investment to teach this young man the ways of the Lord. They have done that. Out of all the things they could have done for Isaac, none would have been more critical or substantial than this. It's worth noting that his parents, it is one of the greatest privileges known to a parent to do the same thing. God makes it clear what his intentions were in choosing Abraham, the father of nations. He makes that clear. You remember that. Genesis 18, verse 19. Says, this is why I've chosen Abraham, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. Abraham has done that. He's following what God has called him to do. We say, well, that's for Abraham. What about us? Well, here's the what about for us. Bring many more verses to this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Parents, grandparents, you who are single and have opportunity with others, this is where our hearts need to be. Teaching the next generation about this great God who we love and serve. This is critical. There's not a higher calling for you and I from the Lord. It begins here. They were serious, I believe, Abraham and Sarah, about teaching young Isaac about the Lord. This was the top of their to-do list, teaching him. Abraham finishes with great insight. How could Abraham do this? He believed God would provide. I finish with this thought. Here it is. We can go through trials with confidence that God will provide. As we go through those trials, let's believe. You know, as you approach a trial, as you go through a testing, that can have such a wonderful witness to the world and can be a great blessing to those around you. Don't forget that. And I believe one of the things God wants us to do is to shout it out to others. Hey, it's a mess. I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but the Lord does. He will see me through. Faithful is he who calls me, who also will bring it to pass. Let's pray. Well, wait. Before we pray, the rest of the story is next week. Don't read ahead. The rest of the story is next week. Loving Father, thank you for your love to us, for your grace in our lives, for putting before us an example of an individual laying out his life in the Scripture who had his days, who had days when he was full of faith and courage in days when he wasn't. Thank you that we've been able to see him progress in his maturity in following and loving and trusting you. I pray the same will be true in our lives. And thank you for your timing, Father. This particular test, I don't believe Abraham could have come through it very well if it had been years earlier. But here he is. And that's the way you work it. As we grow, the tests are a little bit bigger, but you're still just as faithful. Help us, Father, to declare your glory to those around us by how we go through the struggles in life. Bless your people, Father. Use them powerfully. in this community and their families and throughout to lift your name high. Help us as grandparents and parents, those of influence over younger people and children, to declare faithfully the way of the Lord. We pray your blessing now. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.